you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday. It's February 16th, 2018. And I was thinking, as I was given the date, I looked at the calendar and I was like, wow, it's a week from tonight. We're going to have our Israel Interest Night.
Oh, yeah.
That's just a week away. And this month is going to be half over. And there's a lot going on. And we made our deadlines for the March edition of the Prime Life Times. We're always working a few weeks in advance so it can get to the printer. And then it can get printed and then delivered to us so we can get it out before the 1st of March. And so, yeah, that's all been happening. And, yeah, we're planning Israel Interest Night. Those of you that want to know a little more about a pilgrimage to Israel, we'll be talking up our October 3rd through the 13th trip. And we have stuff on our website that discloses prices and the arrangements, but it'll be all-inclusive, and we'll leave on a Wednesday, return on a Saturday, and it's going to be an exciting time of growth and of learning what the Lord would pour into us while we're there. And we would actually find out why you want to go and where you want God to meet you, and we'll have the word come alive on location as it's taught and prayed about and thought through. And oh, it's always exciting. And so if you're interested at all in knowing more, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. There's an Israel Trips link. Or you can call the station. I'll send you a little email with the specifics. But it'll begin at 6:45 next Friday night here at the Great News Radio Center. And by 8 o'clock, we should be done. So about an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We'll tell some stories, share from our beloved book, the Bible, and then talk about what you can expect on the trip and how it all works and how you can be a part of that. But it'll be an active group, a smaller group, but we're going to be traversing throughout the land, touring, kind of a teach and study tour. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited about that. We're excited about this book of Exodus, and we're in chapter 6. In fact, verse 6 begins with, "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched hand and with mighty acts of judgment." Wow, that outstretched arms, what does that picture in the New Testament for us? I mean, that just kind of leaped off the pages for me. With outstretched arms. This is God speaking. How does he also speak to us through the ends of the gospel message?
Yeah, and what's powerful is you started to begin to allude to it as you read those verses. So you made the connection. So for those of you who are Jesus followers, when you hear the outstretched arms, you begin to have this picture in your mind of this man who stretched out upon a cross, who purchased by his blood shed for the forgiveness of our sins, our salvation, who rose victoriously on the third day. You know, this is Jesus Christ. What's interesting is when we read the Old Testament as Christians, we do exactly what Jesus had hoped the Jews would do as he walked and he preached. You know, so often Jesus is preaching, particularly in the book of John, and the Jewish folks who are around him, they begin to say, "Is this the prophet?" And the reason they say, "Is this the prophet?" is they're hearkening back to Deuteronomy when Moses said, "And God will raise another prophet like me amongst you who will lead you." And so it's really interesting. In John, they don't say, "Is this a prophet?" They say, "Is this the prophet?" Mm. The one that Moses had prophesied for. And so Jesus particularly was doing things that would make the Jews go back to the Old Testament and begin to address the promises of God and the plans and purposes of God that were being unfolded. Jesus provides bread from heaven, and they're like, "Wait a second, is this like the manna we ate in the desert, you know, in the wilderness?" And so immediately Jesus is going, "Yeah, so let me help you connect the dots." Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is as Christians, we read the Old Testament, we begin to do that forward and go, "Wait a second, oh my gosh, do you see these things that God did?" Now what's fascinating about chapter 6 in the Exodus here is here we will find seven I will statements that God makes. God makes seven I will statements in chapter 6. Now that's powerful because in the book of John, Jesus makes seven I am statements. And the seven I am statements of Jesus is where he takes the Old Testament name of Yahweh, which means to be, and applies them to himself. Now when we hear the name Yahweh, really it means a bunch of different things, but one of the simplest meanings is to be. But you always have to, the rabbis say, put a little parenthesis, for you. So the word Yahweh is to be for you. So it's always God coming in relationship to his people and who he is for his people. Which is interesting, because when Jesus says, I am the living bread, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, I am for you the good shepherd. I am for you the resurrection. I am for you the way and the life, the truth and the life. I am for you these things. But just like we have the seven I am statements in John, here we have the seven I will statements of Exodus chapter 6, which shows us God's heart. And so again, in Exodus chapter 6, we know Moses is struggling with who God is. Moses is struggling with the fact that he went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, nope. And he goes, wait a second, God, you told me that I'm going to go to him. You built me up at the end of, you know, Exodus chapter 4. There's worship, and he's feeling like he's got it handled, and he's going to go to the most powerful man in the world, and he's going to make this declaration for the people of God, and he will let them go because God is with him. And sometimes, friends, when God is with us, things don't always go the way that we think they ought to go, but they always go the way that God wants them to go. Because in Exodus chapter 3, God told Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you. It will require a mighty hand. And by the way, when God says it requires a mighty hand, he doesn't mean yours or somebody that you can find. He means himself. There is no hand mightier than God's hand. And so Exodus chapter 6, say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. This is salvation. In John chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. And what? He leads them out. Here in the Exodus, it says, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. In John, it says, and I lead them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. Think about the fire and the smoke, the pillar that they follow by day and night. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Exodus chapter 6:6 continues and said, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. This is exactly what Moses accused God of not doing in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 23, when he said, you've not delivered your people at all. But in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and 39, it says, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Listen, friends, maybe today you are feeling like you're being killed all day long. By the way, Paul in Romans 8 says that it will seem like we are being killed all day long. And maybe you have been wounded. But listen, our God makes us alive again, and he heals us, and he can deliver you out of the hand of whatever it is that you are suffering. And maybe even in the midst of that, he is going to join you. He's going to give you that manna, bread for today, that you need. And so, listen, apart from salvation in Christ, our final and most fearful enemy is God himself. This is why Jesus warns us to fear God and God alone, that no one can deliver us out of his hands. No one, that is, except himself. God is our greatest deliverer. Nothing can deliver you but God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. How? How does this happen? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And that leads me to the Apostle Paul, which I love the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, because it so feels like so many of my days. But Paul says in Romans chapter 7, wretched man am I, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, by the way, in Romans chapter 7, he says, I do the thing that I don't want to do, and I don't know why I don't do the thing I know I ought to do, even though I know I ought to do it. It just doesn't seem like I can accomplish it. And that's what drives Paul to say, what a wretched man am I. And then he goes, I need Christ's strength. I need his deliverance. Exodus chapter 6 goes on and says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. You know, the Hebrew word here for redeem is the word Goel, G-O-E-L, Goel, which is a term for a kinsman redeemer. It's one amongst your tribe who comes and delivers you. This is why Jesus had to come and put flesh on, because he had to be from amongst our tribe to be our kinsman redeemer. We see the kinsman redeemer show up really powerfully in the book of Ruth when Boaz redeems Ruth. And what happens through the redemption of Ruth and their children? We instantly are back on track to the line of David. That's why I love the book of Ruth, because Judges ends and it's like there is no king in Israel and everybody does as they please. And then God sends the most unlikely person, a woman named Ruth. And through the kinsman redeemer Boaz, the line is brought back. Mm-hmm. And it gets back on track, which leads us all the way to Matthew chapter 1 and Jesus. And so this kinsman redeemer, he comes to defend the honor of the family. Christ came to defend the honor of the faith family that God had called together, his people. And for the honor of his name, for the honor of the family name, which is God's name. And so God's going to deliver his people, but not by paying a price to the Egyptians. God doesn't come and go like, well, okay, what do I have to do for you? But God comes by an exertion of his mm-hmm. awesome power to defend the honor of his name. I love in Isaiah chapter 43 and 1, it says, "And now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Maybe for some of you today, as you're struggling, you need to hear that. You need to hear the words of God that says, "You are mine. There is no one who can take you." Maybe you're feeling spiritually oppressed. You need to know who you belong to. And so God is declaring in Isaiah that he has the rights of the Creator. And along with having the rights of the Creator, he has the rights as a Redeemer. He made them, and he can bring them out. And I love in Isaiah 2, it's like this close, intimate relationship. I created you. I formed you. My fingerprints are all over you. You are mine, and therefore I have an intimate love and empathy for what you're going through. And I will redeem you. I love how Jesus, who is our Redeemer, says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve mm-hmm. and to give his life as a ransom for many." And Titus would go on and say in chapter 2, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works," who are zealous for God. Chapter 6 in the Exodus in verse 7 goes on and says, "And I will take you to be my people." You know, on Wednesday we talked about Larry and Sheila's dedicated day and their 31 years of marriage. And this is the kind of same kind of thing. You know, "I will take you to be my people." This is an intimate taking. This is deep, deep kind of covenant talk. This is commitment. This is the words that a wife uses and a man use when they come together in marriage. "I'll take you to be my wife, to love, to honor, to cherish." And God takes us in that kind of relationship with himself. And that we would, through that process, know him, that we would be his alone, that he would give us his name. You know, I just think about that. When people see you, do they see you or do they see Christ? Because you bear his name through your intimate, deep, and covenant relationship. I even think about the church. You know, so often we could say, "Well, we're the people of such and such church," which is really divisional language, isn't it? Like, well, we're Baptist and we're Methodist and we're Presbyterian and we're Catholic and we're, I mean, whatever denomination, because I'm not picking on any here. I'm just trying to make the distinction. But you could say you're this denomination. When why don't we just begin to say we're the people of God? We are his people in deep covenant relationship with him. The all other things that we have are just, they're just superfluous. We are first and foremost his people. Verse 7 goes on to say, "And I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Again, this is that intimate relational talk. You will be mine, I will be yours, and you shall know. This is knowing, like on a deep heart level. This is knowing that transcends simply academic knowledge. This is knowing in the midst of cancer that he is still your God. This is knowing in the midst of relational turmoil that he can heal you. This is the kind of knowing that Jesus calls into people when he says, "See again, walk again." This is that kind of knowing. And what's really interesting is he says in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5 and 10 and verse 2 and 14 and verse 4 and chapter 17 and chapter 29 and verse 45, God declares that the Egyptians shall also know something. They shall know that I am the Lord.
This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org if you want to go back and write down all those verses.
But because that's one of the purposes that God has in the Exodus, is to declare to the Egyptians and to his own people that he is God alone. That is one of the purposes that God has in your life, that you would declare to those who are Christians that you are a Christian, but also to those who are not Christians that you are a Christian. God always has more than just the mission you think he has in mind. That's why the Bible says, who can know the mind of God? Because God has more balls in the air than you can even understand. He's using your life and your testimony in powerful ways. I mean, just think about, again, we'll go back to Larry and Sheila. They're getting their money's worth on this one.
Yeah.
But just think about them. They probably have an impact in their church. They probably have an impact in their neighborhood or their relational spheres in terms of being married 31 years and that. But because of their desire to share that in the radio ministry, now all of a sudden that witness has a whole nother, you know, thing going on that the people probably never even thought of. Now there are people who don't even know Larry and Sheila Hicks who now know their story and who are emboldened to maybe live more courageously in their marriage and more sacrificially because of that testimony. And so God doesn't just declare that he's going to do one thing. God declares that he's going to do all kinds of things.
And I like this part of the verse. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke. He's the one getting the credit. He's getting the glory. It's not Moses. It's not Moses bringing him out. It's God that's bringing it out. And again, he's the one to receive the glory because it's he who is doing it.
And just think, in this way, here is much smaller and it keeps getting bigger, doesn't it? Because a little bit more down the road in the first five books of the Bible, we're going to find that he's going to pitch a tent called a tabernacle and his presence will rest there. His presence is there with Moses and that as he's empowering them and going. But then he's going to come and he's going to inhabit the tabernacle, and then he's going to inhabit the temple, and then he's going to inhabit a man, and he's going to come amongst us and touch us. So God is continually making his presence more visible and known to his people.
And then that gift of the Holy Spirit's going to abide in each of us that follow the Lord Jesus.
Well, and just think about that. I mean, you know, so often we just make that so small. And you know, I forget what the last number I saw of how many Christians there are in the world. But let's just take a number. Say there's, I don't know, a million Christians in the world. That means there are a million people in the world walking around with the Spirit of God inside them, him who raised Christ from the dead. I'm sorry, but that's a million-man army who can do amazing things because they have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of them. Yeah. And so God's presence continually doing more and more things. And so Exodus chapter 6 and verse 8, I will bring you into the land that I swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Again, this bringing implies intimacy. He is bringing them into the land that is theirs. But he's also bringing them into the land that's called relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He's bringing them into the territory of knowing him better. Numbers chapter 14 and 8 says, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. By the way, I love the term milk and honey. I love it more and more because recently I learned that milk was considered in that culture to be a daily provision, but honey was considered to be something extravagant. And so when God says, I'm bringing you into a land flowing with milk and honey, he's saying, I'm going to bring you in and provide for you everything you need every day, and then I'm going to give you a little more. I'm going to give you a little extra. I'm going to give you honey. So a relationship with God is exactly what we need today and more.
And I like this again with the relationship. He identifies three names, three people, three human beings. These were actual people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then I think again that illustration where Jesus talks about, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where he's referring to, you know, God being alive and present and involved in people's lives. And here he was involved in these three individuals, patriarchs of the faith.
So we have 2 minutes and two more. So Exodus chapter 6 and verse 8, I will give it to you for a possession. I love this. God is generous. He gives and he gives freely. Jesus said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, if you knew the gift of God, which implies this, God is a giver. God loves to give. He gave himself in his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, there is no distinctions, Romans chapter 3 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. chapter 6 and verse 8, the last one, he says, I am the Lord. That means I'm able. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Friends, listen, God can and will fulfill every I will that he makes. God's I will statements are always made to lead us to the great I am. Lead us towards Jesus Christ. Lead us to him. The great I am. Listen, in every Egypt that you encounter, we'll play the metaphor, but in every Egypt you encounter, there's a Pharaoh. And sometimes, friends, there's a lot of Pharaohs. Later on in the Bible, Pharaohs turned into Pharisees. There are a lot of people who say, Who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. And every one of those I will statements is meant to be able to have us stand confidently and say, I know who he is. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, I know whom I have believed upon, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so, friends, that is what God is leading us triumphantly towards, not towards greater and future blessings, not towards more and more stuff or things, but towards the greatest blessing, the greatest future we could ever have, and that is found in him.
Exodus chapter 6, a good reading for us all today, and excited to continue through this book throughout this year, maybe into 2019. Lots of great truths.
2020,
to be gleaned.
2021.
Yeah, make it a practice and exercise to be in God's Word each and every day. It's living, it's active. As you pray before you read, Lord, Holy Spirit, guide me through these words. Help me find points of application. Help me learn truths. Help me understand your love for me better so I can be effective in this hurting world. And it's God's heart to answer those kind of prayers, to work in and through you today, and to speak to you very personally through these words. Yeah. So be in God's Word today. Find a good Bible-believing church this Sunday and worship with other like-minded believers. And give God all the glory in the things that you practice and accomplish and do today. And don't forget, a week from tonight, we're having an Israel Interest Night. So those of you that might want to know more about what's it like to walk where Jesus walked or be part of a pilgrimage, where we grow and learn and have Bible studies in the very land where these historical events took place. It'll be happening next Friday, 6:45 here at the Great News Radio Center. If you need to know more, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and look under the Israel trip links, or just show up 6:45 next Friday, the 23rd, here at the Great News Radio Center. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.